My text is verses 9, 10, and 11, Colossians 3. Lie not one to another, seeing that we have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, this new man. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, I'm going to make a bold statement here, but if you listen carefully to me this morning, and this has been the way of God through the centuries, if people hear from God, they're going to hear through a man. God spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came preaching the word of God. Our Lord sent his disciples out with this command: he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that rejecteth you, rejecteth me and him that sent me. So listen to this statement. If you listen carefully to me this morning, you're going to hear the very sum and substance of the gospel of God, the very heart and essence of the gospel of God. I'm that confident of this text, that in this text there is the very sum and substance of what we call the gospel, the very heart and essence of the message of God. And in hearing that and coming to a knowledge of it, listen to what Peter said. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. How? Through the knowledge of the gospel of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Now listen, according as his divine power, I'm not saying that I can give anybody a new heart or an ear to hear or an eye to see, but he can. According to his divine power, he has given unto us, now listen, all things, sum and substance, heart and essence, all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called you to glory. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Peter said that in beginning his second epistle. He said, grace and peace be to you through the knowledge of God and of his Son. And according to God's power, he has given to you and to me all things that pertain to life, everything that pertains to life, everything that pertains to godliness, is in this knowledge of God and of Christ, of God's mercy in Christ, of God's gospel in Christ. All right, let's go to my text now. Let's see what we can do with it in the time we have. Colossians 3. It starts off in a strange way. Colossians 3, 9. Don't lie to one another. Don't lie to one another. Now, we know that the book of Colossians is written to Christians. It's written to believers. Is that not true? Well, let me show you that. Turn back one page to Colossians 1. This book is addressed to believers. Colossians 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, that's Timothy, our brother, to the saints, and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this book is addressed to believers. It's addressed to saints and faithful. So why should these people of God, these believers, these saints and faithful people, have to be exhorted not to lie, to always tell the truth? That's what it says there. Lie not one to another. Isn't that right? But I'll tell you why. Because the believer, the saints of God, the faithful, every one of them have two natures. They all have two natures. It's called here in verse 8 and 9. Now listen to verse 8 and 9, Colossians 3. But now you also put off these things. Not only don't lie to one another, but put off anger and wrath and malice, grudges, bad feelings, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Put those things off. And don't lie to one another. Sin, you put off the old man with his deeds. There's one nature, the old man with his deeds. And put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. There's an old man, there's a new man. And that old man has to be put off. Constantly put off, put down, mortified, crucified. Paul said, I die daily. It's not a once-for-all thing. You don't just discard the old man and be done with him. He's with you all the time. Hold a place there and turn to Ephesians a moment. Let me show you another scripture on this. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Let me start with verse 21. Ephesians 4:21. If so be that you've heard him, Ephesians 4:21, you have it, if so be that you've heard him, that is Christ, and you've been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, that you put off concerning the former conversation, your former behavior, the old man, which is corrupt. The old man is corrupt. He didn't used to be. He is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now watch. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created. This new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. We're the same body. So that's the reason you ask the question, this is written to believers. This scripture's written by the Apostle Paul to believers. Why should believers have to be exhorted to tell the truth, have to be exhorted to watch what they say, have to be exhorted to watch how they walk, watch how they live, be careful? Because they're two natures. The believer has two natures. One's called the old man, and one's called the new man. One's called the old man, that which is, our Lord said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And the old man was born in sin, which is corrupt. But the new man, the scripture talks about the new man and says he's renewed. He's restored, he's regenerated, he's created by God. When you're born of your mother and father, you're born of flesh. And in sin my mother conceived me. I was brought forth from the womb speaking lies. I was born with a fleshly nature, a nature that loved darkness, loved sin, loved self. See, you don't have to teach children. Here's a little baby, a year old, 2 years old, 3 years old. You don't teach that child to be selfish, but he is. He's got a mind complex. It's mine. Well, you didn't teach him that. He was brought up in a home where parents are generous and kind and loving, but he has a my complex. Mine. He'll lie to you. If things don't go his way, he'll make up something. There's just so many things that tell us that we didn't teach our children to be that way. And our fathers and mothers didn't teach us to be this way. We were born this way. It's an old nature. And people say the only difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. Well, the only difference between men and boys in this thing of sin is that they get a little older and their sins get a little more dangerous. Their sins get a little more costly. But that infant, and I don't care what people say, is this Bible teaches original sin. That's the way the only reason you can account. You go in there, why do we have to have three workers in there? Sometimes four. Because there's a bunch of wild ones in there. That's right. They're yours. But you don't want them that way, and you didn't teach them that way. You've used every method you know to change their ways, but that's the way that they're born that way. And over to high school and other, that's their way, the way of man. That's that old man, that old nature. I'll show you this. Turn to Matthew 16. I hold Colossians 3. I'm coming back. But turn to Matthew 16. I'm going to show you this illustrated right here in the same chapter, almost in the same breath. I'm going to show you this old man and this new man illustrated right here in Matthew 16, the life of one of the God's greatest men, the Apostle Peter. Matthew 16. Now, our Lord had asked the disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You remember? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say one of the four. And then in verse 15, he said to the disciples, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said, Simon, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say to you, you're Peter, a little stone. And upon this rock, your confession, you're the Christ, the Son of God. I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Listen, friends, Peter's about as high as you can get right here, isn't he? I mean, listen. Under God, what a beautiful picture. This man stood there and said, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And our Lord Jesus said, that's the testimony on which I'll build my church. You're Peter, the little stone. Now change your name from Simon to Peter. Just a little while later, listen, verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised from the dead. That's how we're going to be saved. Then Peter, it didn't last long, did it? Peter took him aside to rebuke him. Here's the old man, John, coming out. Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. He said, this spirit in you is satanic. Now you get behind me, Satan. You're offense unto me. You savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. That's us right there. That's you. That new man, I know who Christ is. I know who this word is. I delight to do thy will, O God. Thy law is within my heart. The Apostle Paul had a problem with this. Turn to Romans 7. Romans chapter 7. But I'll tell you, when I get to thinking my way, my goals, my aims, My delight and desires. That old man rears his ugly head up, and God has to smite it. His word has to smite it. It has to be put down. Look at, listen to Paul in Romans 7, verse 18. I know. Romans 7, 18. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, my old nature, that old man, dwelleth no good thing. To will is present with me, how to perform that which is perfect, that which is good, none good but God, perfect. I find not the good, the perfection that I would, I do not, but the evil I would not, that's what I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but it's sin that dwelleth in me. It's not the new man. The new man's created in Christ. The new man delights in the law of God. Listen, verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil's present with me. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, the renewed man, the regenerated man, the new man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Always battling, always in conflict. Always grieving over something I said or something I did or something I didn't do or something I didn't say. There's some feelings I've hurt or some example I didn't set, grieving over it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Well, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Turn to Galatians 5 and listen to Paul here. It has to be an effort put forth. The old man is not automatically mortified. He's not automatically crucified. He's not automatically put down. He has to be, and not once for, he has to be constantly dealt with. And don't, you know, I hope nobody here, I know you don't, but I hope nobody here has adopted any kind of attitude, well, you know, I'm holier than others. It's things I don't do that they do, and the things you do that they don't do, too. This is a state of mind. I'm not talking about getting drunk. I'm not talking about stealing somebody's wife. I'm not talking about holding up a bank. I'm talking about what goes on in here. You see, the people of God are done with those things. We're not gonna rob and steal and commit adultery and be thieves and murder and these things. But our problem's in the heart. You see what I'm saying? It's the nature. It's desiring to be perfect, to be like God, to be like Christ, and the inability to do so and to be so. And that old nature, the things we have trouble with is pride and anger. That's what I read a while ago. Exaggeration, misrepresentation, things of this nature. Now let's look at Galatians 5, verse 17. Verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Word of God. And you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's one way to put down this old man, and that is to encourage the new man. There's one way to starve the old man, that's feed the new man. Isn't that right? The more you stay with the Word of God, the more, in other words, you've got two natures. Now, that's just so every believer does. You've got a nature that loves God, loves His Word, wants to be perfect. He has another nature that has the same desires he used to have. So if I'm going to put down the old man and put on the new man, discourage the old man, encourage the old man, then my companions, if I run around with people that appeal to this old man, then he's going to be encouraged. If I find my fellowship with people who love the new man and talk about things of God and live for God, then the new man's going to be helped. You see what I'm saying? If I read material that appeals to the old flesh, it's going to excite the old flesh. You can't put him down that way. Put off the old man. You can't put off the old man by exposing him all the time to people and conversation and material that excites him. But if you stay with people who help the new man and listen to conversation that helps the new man and read things that encourage the new man, then this guy suffers and the other man, the new man, is helped. That's common sense. It's not only scripture. It's just like your boys and girls, you know, you, Brother Shanks. Brother Shanks used to have a school, a Christian school out in Texas. He was principal, janitor, chairman of the board. He ran the whole thing, and he was principal of that Christian school. Had about 300 kids in that school. I spoke to them 2 or 3 times, but a lot of them weren't Christians either. They were troublesome boys and girls. Anyway, mother called him one day, and she said, "Brother Shanks," she said, "now enroll my boy in your school." And she said, "don't you let him get with the wrong crowd." He said, "Mama, your boy is the wrong crowd." The new man. That's what it says here in Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit. Don't walk with the wrong crowd. Walk in the Spirit. And you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. The old man, the old nature is ever present with us. But one day, that old man's going to die. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to show you the end of the old man. The end of the old man. I've been knowledgeable of the gospel for 41 years. 1950, I learned the gospel. I've been in this conflict of flesh and spirit for that many years. And some of you have too. And one day, before long, I won't have this conflict anymore. I'm going to be one man. That old man's going to die and be buried. And I'll be a new creature, totally holy like Christ. That's what it says here in 1 Corinthians 15:42. Listen. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It'll be raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There's a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man was a quickening spirit. That's Christ. He gave us new life. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, that which is natural. In other words, I wasn't a new man first. I was an old man first. And then I'm a new man. Adam was first revealed, and then Christ was revealed. See that? So that which is natural was first. Such are they also that are heavenly. But verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. Second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 48, as is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, I bear it real strong too, don't you? We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. But I'm going to show you a mystery. We'll not all die. Some are going to be living when Christ comes. But we're all going to be changed. Well, now, if we don't have two natures, why do we have to be changed? Why do we have to be changed? Why? In other words, if these people who talk about they're Christian but they don't sin, why doesn't God just take them on to heaven without changing them? Well, they'd turn heaven into hell. That's what they'd do. just like they've turned their churches into hell. Like churches, see, so-called holiness churches are the biggest battlegrounds before Armageddon. Because that kind of holiness is not holiness. It's reformed flesh, and there's nothing as evil as reformed flesh. There's a new man and an old man. I've got a new man and an old man. If I die, the change will come. But if I don't die, I've got to be changed. Now listen, we'll all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then and only then will be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, death, where's your sting? O grave, where's your victory? You see that? All right. Here's another question now for you. Is that settled? The two natures. Old man, new man. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. When you walk in the flesh and with the flesh, you're going to encourage that old man. You're just going to excite him. If you walk in the grace of God, in the word of God, with the people of God, you got a better, you've more strength to suppress these things. And they're going to stay with you. This old nature, this the body of this death is going to stay with you. I read an illustration one time how they used to punish criminals centuries ago. And one of the inmates would die, and they'd tie that dead body to a living man, just wrap him around, tie him to that living man. He'd carry that old stinking, decaying body of death around with him wherever he went. And I believe that's what Paul's referring to. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I'm carrying around with me an old nature, an old man. That's a hindrance. You are too. It's a hindrance. And one day you'll put it aside. Now, how do you account for the fact that the old man is evil, corrupt, and will perish? The new man is godly, holy, and truthful, and yet they both live in the same person. How do you account for that? Can you account for it? How do you account for the fact that I am two people, and you are if you're saved? Paul said, it's not I, but sin that dwelleth in me. How do you account for that? Well, I'll tell you how do you account for it. The old man is you and me. That's the way we were born. That's Henry T. Mahan. Born from John C. and Aline Mahan, August 19, 1926, got a birth certificate, and that's me. And I was born with that nature, that flesh, and everything that I have right now is born with it. That new man is from above. That new man is the result of a second birth. Are you with me? The second birth. The first birth is of the earth, earthly. The second birth is from heaven. First birth is of natural parents, produces a natural son, flesh. Second birth is of God, called regeneration. It's called here in our text, verse 10, put on the new man which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. It was created. This new man was created in the image of him who created him. When you create something, you don't take something and straighten it out. It's all new, isn't it? Creation is discovering. You discover and you invent things if you put things together. If you take this and this and this and this elements and put them together, you make something. And you invent something. But if you create what you can't do, only God can create, it's out of nothing. So this old man, born of the flesh, is an old man, old flesh. This new man is regenerated, renewed, restored, created in Christ Jesus. This old man is me. This new man is Christ. That's who this new man is. That's the reason he can't sin, because it's Christ. Let me show you that. Look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Christ in you. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. But the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Look at Colossians 3, verse 3. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Christ is my life. Now let me show you something here in my text. Verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds. You put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew. Now, each one of these words means something. This new man, is neither Greek nor Jew. That is, no external privilege, no external action, no external differences commend this man to God. This new man, in him, there's no difference as to natural wisdom and philosophy and intellect, how brilliant a man is or how lack of brilliance he has doesn't make any difference. There's neither Greek nor Jew religion. Jew stands for religion, doesn't it? The Jew stands for religion, morality. So our human morality is not going to commend us to God. Circumcision, what is circumcision? Well, it allowed a man to come into the temple and sit at the table. It denoted him as being religious, but that didn't make him acceptable to God. No uncircumcision. Here's a man who says, well, I don't find my acceptance with God in what I do. I don't do anything. Barbarian, Scythian. What is Scythian? Savage, another word for barbarian. Well, what about the people who have never heard the gospel? Then they must be accepted. Neither, that doesn't commend them to God. Bond nor free. We had a program last night on the Civil War and the emancipation of the slaves, you know. I felt sorry for the slaves, and I felt hard towards the masters, but that's not going to appease them to God. You see what I'm trying to say? This new man, this old man, all those things appeal to him. They make a difference. The old man, all these things make a difference. Wisdom will take me somewhere. Or religion will do something for me. Or circumcision, acceptance with the right crowd will contribute something. Or uncircumcision with the other crowd will. Or a savage or doesn't keep me from knowing God. Bond or free, neither slave nor the master. There's no respect of persons with God. You see what I'm saying? He's talking about this new man. But listen, in this new man, Christ is all. Do you understand what I'm saying? Christ is all. Now, the old man, these things are involved. Greek, Jew, American, English, or African, or barbarian, or savage, or bond or free, or musician, or dum-dum, or doctor, or lawyer, all these things, we're so taken up with these things. But I tell you, in this new man, in Christ Jesus, in the new man, in the new nature, in the new creation, we're accepted, not for who we are, what we are, what we've done, we're accepted in the Beloved. It's Christ. Christ in me. If I have any holiness, it's not I, it's Christ. If I have any grace or goodness, I can take no credit. Who made you to differ? It's Christ. If God looks at me and accepts me, he doesn't accept me by the amount of offering I gave or didn't give. He accepts me because of the faithfulness of Christ, the holiness of Christ, the blood of Christ. Christ is all. We're dealing with two natures. One's flesh and one's spirit. One's of the earth, other's of heaven. One's rejected, one's accepted. One's going to perish, be annihilated. The other's going to live in glory. And this old flesh, this old man, is concerned about a lot of old things. But this new man is the gift of God, by the grace of God, it's by the power of God, it's through the work of God, and it's Christ Jesus. He's all and in all. In Christ is my wisdom. How do I know God? How does any man know God? I'm not sure any of us know very much about God. But at least I know the way to God. I've never seen God. But if I ever do, I know the only way I will is through Christ. No, I think most of the preachers don't know God. And they talk a lot about God. And the more they talk about him, I think the less they know of him. But I'll tell you how to know him. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know God. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. This is salvation. That's what John wrote. Christ is my wisdom. Christ is my righteousness. I want to show you one verse of Scripture. It'll be a blessing to you. Turn to Genesis chapter 27. This will, for you folks that that love types and pictures, if you better tie your shoelaces a little tighter, you might just sin right now when you read this. Or hold on to the pew. Old Jacob, wasn't much to him, was there? But he got the blessing. But he got the blessing in another person's garment. It says here in Genesis 27:15, and Rebekah took the goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put it on Jacob. Isn't that good? She took the goodly robe of Esau and covered up old Jacob, and he went in running and got the blessing in his brother's robe. And that's how I'm going to get the blessing, in my brother's robe. The Father took the robe of Christ's holiness and righteousness, put it on me, and that made me accepted. That's it. My righteousness is Christ. My acceptance is Christ. My peace is Christ. My reward is Christ. My reward is Christ. You see that? Oh, I'll tell you. If Christ is all, then I ought to set a high value on knowing him. Secondly, I ought to make sure that I know him. And thirdly, I ought to be content to know him. And fourthly, I ought to find a lot of rest in knowing him. Put off the old man. God's going to put it off someday. Put on the new man, which is created in the image of him who created him. And in that new man, there's none of this that matters. Christ is all. All right, Mike, come lead us in that 206, Wonderful Grace of Jesus, 206.